talk about that more later, because I think that's something that most people will be horrified to know that was happening. Let's talk to Brian in North Finchley. Hello, Brian.
Hi there.
Nice to talk to you.
Yeah,
you wanted to talk about homeopathy.
Yeah, we just turned on your radio, the fact is that this, with homeopathy, there's been a concerted effort to really knock it out of the system.
Out of the NHS system?
Out of the NHS. But, you see, what they've done is there's been a group of professors and scientists who wrote to all the PCTs saying that because you can't prove that homeopathy works in the scientific way, that the way they prove allopathic medicine, therefore it's all poppycock, and somebody actually called it crackpot medicine. And therefore, it should be withdrawn. The funding should be withdrawn by the NHS from these hospitals.
Well, that's exactly what's happening in Tunbridge Wells today. There's a homeopathic hospital here funded by the NHS. There's a meeting today of the PCT to decide whether they should continue funding it.
That's right. Well, this has happened in Barnet in London. Mm. They've actually put a sort of 6 months hold on.
But it's it's a difficult question, isn't it? If we don't know why this works, or if indeed it does work, should we be spending taxpayers' money on it?
But it does work. You see, the point is, there are certain types of complementary medicine which you cannot prove by the scientific random placebo effects that they do on orthodox medicine. And the fact that homeopathy never killed anybody, it's a very gentle medicine, and with a lot of people, it does work.
I was saying earlier, Brian, I don't know if you agree, you could argue that it doesn't really matter whether it works or not, whether it actually has any beneficial... If people feel better because they're taking it, because of a placebo effect, that's good enough, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yes, but you see, the placebo effect also works with orthodox medicine. And my argument is that if that works with orthodox, why do we need all the drugs anyway?
Mm.
With all these scientific tests, which is what gets my goat, is the fact that there are medicines out there, and one is called Vioxx, which has been proved scientifically to be fine, and yet has called them... cardiac arrest in people, and people have died. People have died,
Brian,
from homeopathy.
But where do we draw the line? What if somebody came along and said, I think healing should be provided on the NHS?
Well, if it's beneficial, my argument is really that why can't we put the two together and have an integrated medicine? If you have healing and orthodox medicine and it works and somebody gets better, so what?
Isn't
it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good point. Brian, thank you for that. By the way, Brian was listening on the website, of course, which you can do if you're out of the county, or you want to tell somebody who's out of the county to listen to our radio station. They can now on the website, bbc.co.uk/Kent. You can just click on that, and there it is. Radio Kent appears on your computer. Always clever, I know. Thanks to Brian for that. We think it was 7-6 on penalties. This is the Charlton-Sunderland game that I mentioned being one of the great games of all time. Anyway, it was 1998. It was a wonderful game. But we're going to talk more about the restaurants that use tips to actually provide wages and what we can do about it. I see what the union, Unite, said thousands of waiting staff in London were having their wages subsidised by tips and often meant they suffered a pay cut when on holiday or off sick. The union claimed that most restaurant employers were taking a cut of tips to boost their profits. Unite is campaigning for a change in the law to stop restaurant employers counting tips as part of workers' wages. Customers will be urged to leave any tips in cash and to make sure they go direct to the staff. Dave Turnbull, regional officer of Unite, said many customers will be horrified if they knew their service charge went towards paying hard-working waiters and waitresses the minimum wage rather than rewarding good service. Eating out in London is an expensive business, yet restaurants are taking it in, raking it in from high prices, sometimes cheating the customer and the worker. Tips and service charges should always be considered an addition to a decent living wage. There we are. Comment on that, please. 08459 811111 is the number to call if you'd like to join us this morning. Now it's 8:30. Very good morning to you. It's breakfast on BBC Radio Kent with me, John Warnett. Here are the headlines. The Justice Secretary, Jack Straw, has called for a review of the law on self-defence. He'll tell Labour's conference in Bournemouth that people who stand up to criminals need more protection. The latest reports from Burma say shots have been fired on the streets of Rangoon. Witnesses say at least one campaigner is trying to save homeopathy services in Tunbridge Wells. Say they're furious that health bosses are expected to recommend stopping NHS funding at a meeting later this evening.
In sports, Sir Alex Ferguson says he's flabbergasted after Manchester United crash out of the Carling Cup in the third round. Ebbsfleet boss Liam Daish is pleased with his team's response after he called on them for a greater effort. And Maidstone trainer John Best says his star colt Kingsgate Native is on target for next month's Pre-Abbé, the race for Europe's top sprinters. I'm Paul Hasler with more in 15 minutes.
And Steve back with the travel news. Morning, Steve.
Yeah, good morning to you, John. Still slow, I'm afraid, on the M25 anti-clockwise up towards the Dartford Tunnel toll booths this morning. We had a broken down vehicle there in the last hour, actually. All lanes reopened just after 8 o'clock, but residual delays there. Staying with the Dartford area, we've got delays due to traffic lights out of action at Crossways Boulevard, the A206 at the junction with the A282. This is the Littlebrook interchange. Very busy set of roundabouts, that is, and that's causing problems in the surrounding area. It's eased off on the QE2 bridge, still busy between Fyfe and Claggett services though, and on the M26 and on the M20, busy westbound, junction 6 through 5 and on to 4. M2, that's flowing okay at the moment. Town traffic, busy as you would expect it to be, just the usual places for you to watch for your delays this morning. Southeastern services between Faversham and Dover Priory, they're being disrupted due to a tree on the line in the Kearsney Abbey area. And on the tubes this morning, the Circle and Hammersmith and City lines are suspended and there are delays on the District line. It's due to a safety equipment dispute. Buses are accepting tickets on all routes, though. Delays of around 15 minutes on Trans-Europa ferries between Ramsgate and Ostend this morning, but services out of Dover, they're running to time with space available. And just had a look on the camera at the Eurotunnel booth at Folkestone. They're running a normal schedule, no delays in the run-up there. With travel news every 15 minutes, I'm Steve Ladner.
Right, the weather prospects for today. Now the BBC Weather Centre this morning, Steph Ball.
Hi, we're in for another rather cloudy, windy and showery day. Winds are strong and gusty northerly wind. The showers at first will be near the coastal fringes, but they'll develop inland as the day wears on, and it is going to be another cold day. Though temperatures up a touch on yesterday, we'll see the high up to 14 or 15 degrees. That's 57 to 59 Fahrenheit. Into tonight, where we keep the breeze going. So with the cloud and the breeze, it's going to help to hold temperatures up. The low 8 degrees, that's 46 Fahrenheit, and that's the temperature out of town. For tomorrow again, well, we're going to see a little sunshine around first thing, but showers, some already from first light, will start to develop more as the morning wears on, and they'll tend to merge into a longer spell of rain across the east at first, around the middle of the day, and then pushing slowly west through the afternoon. So it is going to be another windy day, and it'll also feel quite unpleasant once those wetter conditions come through during the afternoon. The high tomorrow will be 1 Fahrenheit. Now, if you're out on the waters today, the inshore waters forecast has the winds at north, veering northeast, force 5 to 7. The weather is squally showers with good visibility and with moderate or rough seas. This is Steph Ball at the BBC Weekend.
And the next high tide at Dover will be at 11.57 at 7 metres. At Margate, 12.49, 4.9 metres. Sheerness, 13.34, 6 metres. Chatham, 13.44, 6.3 metres. And Gravesend, 14.02. The height there, 6.6 metres.
News, sport, weather and travel. John Warnett, BBC Radio Kent.
Very good morning to you. We're going to continue our discussions now on homeopathy because campaigners trying to save Tunbridge Wells Homeopathic Hospital are said to be furious at a recommendation by health officials in West Kent to stop funding it. Later today, board members of the West Kent Primary Care Health Trust will be asked to end nearly 60 years of history and stop paying for its NHS patients to go there. So does homeopathy work, and should the NHS continue to fund it when its effectiveness is uncertain? Let's hear both sides of the argument now. In a moment, we'll be speaking to Sally Penrose, Chief Executive of British Homeopathic Association. But first, we're joined by Professor David Cahoon, the Professor of Pharmacology at the University College London. David, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Do you believe that the NHS should fund homeopathic medicine?
No, I don't. For the simple reason that there's not the slightest reason to think that it works.
But isn't that, couldn't you say that about some normal medicines that work, but we don't quite know why?
Yes, you could say that about ordinary medicines, but the fact that there remain a few ordinary medicines that are unproven is no reason to add to the NHS more things which are almost certainly not working. That seems to me quite irrelevant. one would wish that everything had been tested rigorously, but those that haven't been tested rigorously should be out, and that includes homeopathy.
When you say it hasn't been tested rigorously, you're telling me that it doesn't have to go through the same jumps through the same hoops that drugs do. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, it's a complete double standard at the moment. You see, your previous speaker earlier on said that these things can't be tested by the same methods. Well, they can be, and sometimes they have been tested by the same methods, and they fail.
Mm.
The reason that homeopaths, I imagine, are quite reluctant, apparently, to test them by proper methods is because they suspect in their heart of hearts they're going to fail when they're tested that way, and indeed they usually do.
What about the argument, though, that it doesn't actually matter whether these things work scientifically? If they make people feel better, whether it's a placebo effect or not, does it matter?
Yes, people will often say they feel better. I mean, Sally Penrose on the Society of Homeopaths website cites a notorious study in 6,500 people in Bristol who've been to the homeopathic clinic there were simply asked whether they felt better or worse, and half of them said they felt better or much better or better.
Well, that's what I mean.
Sort of random to me because they weren't compared with anything. No doubt it was partly placebo effect.
But isn't the whole point of the NHS to make people feel better? And if people feel better by taking whatever it is, then we've succeeded, haven't we?
There's two problems there. A, they may have something serious where the placebo effect doesn't work and they're not meant to recover spontaneously. There's a notorious case recommending their pills for malaria prevention, dangerous and evil. It was on the Newsnight programme. That's one thing. The other thing is that if you're going to have a placebo effect, you should have an honest placebo effect. Homeopathy is based on a sort of early 19th century bit of mumbo jumbo. And if you're going to have that solely as a placebo effect, A, you've got to admit it's that, and B, you've got to prevent the crazy situation we're in now, where the NHS demands people are trained in this mumbo jumbo in order to produce a placebo effect. And a few universities, to their eternal shame, are actually giving degrees in it.
OK, well, David, thank you very much indeed for joining us. That's David Gahoon, Professor of Pharmacology at University College London. Let's get the other side of the argument now. Sally Penrose, Chief Executive of the British Homeopathic Association. Sally, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So let's look. I mean, why hasn't homeopathic medicine been rigorously tested like conventional medicine has?
Well, I would dispute that. It has been tested, and there are a number of randomized placebo-controlled trials, and these are listed on our website, and many of them show positive effects for homeopathy. Professor Cahoon's...
That's... isn't it?
Well...
You're telling me that people feel better when they take homeopathic remedies. It doesn't prove it works, it proves that they feel better.
It proves it's better than placebo. And certainly there are different types of studies that you can do. And the study that Professor Cahoon mentioned, the Bristol Homeopathic Patient Study, is an outcome study, a patient service evaluation. Now, I think that a lot of patients have direct experience of homeopathy, and they know what works for them.
Hmm.
Their views shouldn't be discounted. 76% of patients at Tunbridge Wells Homeopathic Hospital reported improvement from their treatment. And these are patients who've had serious chronic complex health problems, quite often who have had conventional medicine first, and it hasn't helped them, or the side effects have been unacceptable, and they report positive health benefits. That's why patients are so upset about the possibility of the service being cut.
But where do we see, if the NHS is paying for this, you have to be a bit more rigorous, don't we, in what we spend the money on? And I said to somebody earlier, I mean, where would you draw the line? If somebody came along and said, I'm a healer and I make people feel better, would you pay them out of the NHS budget?
No, I agree that there should be rigorous trials, and certainly we are working very hard to develop and raise funds to do more research. We fully acknowledge there needs to be more research, and it needs to be better quality research that is more effective in assessing the benefit of homeopathic treatment.
Mm.
But it's very, very difficult to get funding for this because you can't patent the medicines. It's not like conventional medicine where the drug companies have a vested interest in funding research.
What about the claims about, you know, taking homeopathic malaria prevention? That is very dangerous, isn't it? Because
it certainly is, and we wouldn't advise that at all. Our policy is that people should follow the Department of Health guidelines on immunisation, and that includes malaria.
And the other thing that people say about homeopathic remedies is that the amount of substance in them is minute, and therefore it seems sort of extraordinary that such a minute amount of a substance can have much effect.
There's a lot of research going on internationally to explore this phenomenon, and I think that we're making great progress towards a better understanding. Just because science can't fully explain a phenomenon now doesn't mean to say that it won't be able to in the future. And that doesn't really matter to patients, because what patients experience